You ready to head down under, Rye Guy?
Yes.
That's all that needs to be said.
Fucking Riker. What a fucking idiot.
Come on, get that McLaren out of the way. This guy is a fucking show.
With 5 laps remaining, so we need to keep this pace up.
Hey man, don't talk to me through the corners.
This is Purple Sector, Helmut and Rye Guy on the mics.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Going down under.
This is Purple Sector's Australian Grand Preview. Mm-hmm. Good to be going down under, Rye Guy. First thing, though, here's how to help us rise up, not go down under. Thanks for tuning in to Purple Sector. Remember to reach out to the show by pitting in the mail, box, box, box.
Instructions to box.
You can leave a voicemail or shoot a text to 904-8-PURPLE. That's 904-878-7753. You can also slide into our DMs at Purple Sector Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Be sure to follow both those accounts as well.
Follow me on Instagram.
You can also get additional content on our YouTube by subscribing to Purple Sector F1 Podcast. Finally, be sure to subscribe to Purple Sector wherever you get your podcasts. Review the show and throw us 5 stars at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. See y'all on the track. Still we rise.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So we have some interesting news topics we're going to get into, and then we will dive into our hashtag AusGP, Australian Grand Preview proper. So, Rye Guy, first things first, there is some piping hot news out there right now.
Yeah. A lot of drama.
Drama continuing. So this occurred right before the Bahrain Grand Prix. Right when Hamilton and longtime trainer Andrea Cullen split ways.
Angela, sorry.
Yeah, I botched that on my outline.
I think you still had Andrea Stella in there.
I have Andrea Stella, Andrea Seidel, and Angela Cullen on the brain now.
Angela Cullen, yeah.
So, yeah, what do you think went down here? It's weird that it was after the first race, after everyone at Mercedes was shitting on the car. Do you think this was Angela Cullen wanting to kind of tackle new stuff now that the Mercedes is a stinker, or a mutual parting of ways, or Hamilton just wanting to shake things up? Is there any sort of rumor or conspiracy theory out there?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it both ways, that he fired her and she left on her own accord, you know? I think what it is Angela's a winner, and she was like, I'm done with this team. This team sucks.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just because we started following her social media accounts after the split, or if it's just been getting so much of a push.
We've been following her for years on her account.
Oh, all of a sudden I see her constantly posting of her doing like skydiving, her, you know, well wishing for Hamilton and Mercedes and everything all the time.
Yeah.
So she's doing her best to make it seem like it was either a mutual parting of ways, or, you know, she's excited to tackle new things in life.
I mean, she had a good run.
Yeah, it took until, I think, last season before she finally got her own scooter, so she wouldn't have to chase Hamilton around the paddock, right?
Yep.
And then she's gone. As soon as she gets a scooter, she's got to scoot on out of Hamilton's garage.
She was there since 2016, I think.
She's seen a lot of success.
Or at least in the paddock. I think she's been his trainer forever.
Yeah, it's been a long time. But interesting split there, a little splitsville with Angela Cullen and Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, who really knows what's going on there?
Yeah, let us know if you guys here have any crazy conspiracy theories you've heard, or other rumors and innuendo on that front. Rye Guy, Jensen Button and Kimi Raikkonen raced at COTA in NASCAR last weekend.
Yeah.
Button actually did well. They both qualified similarly, I think, in like the mid-20s. Button actually finished 18th He raced his way up, and he was suffering from heat exhaustion during the race.
Really?
He was not ready for that Texas heat there in Austin.
Is it really hot in Austin right now?
I guess.
That's
but
funny.
He also may not be in the best racing shape, you know?
That's
Plus,
true.
I don't think those NASCARs, you know, are they have all these clever things to try and cool off, but he made it sound like at some point he had to get out and like lay in an ice bath, and he was just struggling big time. Raikkonen struggled also. He ended up finishing 29th, so he was 11 spots behind Jensen Button. Raikkonen, I think, missed out on some of the safety cars or pit strategies and then spun late, so not a good showing this time for Kimi, the Iceman.
Is Kimi Raikkonen on the schedule for like a handful of races this year?
So I was reading that Trackhouse, the Pitbull, his NASCAR squad, they announced that Raikkonen would not be doing the next sort of big name international driver that they want to bring in, because they've made that their push, right? They want to start bringing in big names, kind of just pumping up their own visibility and popularity globally along with the sport.
There's a guy named Daniel Ricciardo who should have some time on his hands.
Yeah, for sure. But that's the question. I wonder if Raikkonen maybe he's had two. He did very well in his first one. He was climbing up the order and then got knocked out of the race. A little rubbing his race and got a little too physical in his debut with Trackhouse. And then this time he raced backwards. So, yeah, they said they haven't ruled out another future race for Raikkonen in their car, but that they might be looking to shake things up with another fresh face.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see there. But
maybe
good
Danny
showing
Rick.
From Button, battling through heat exhaustion. Tough guy. So, more changes at Mercedes, aside from just Hamilton and Angela Cullen splitting ways, parting
soap
ways.
Soap off the track, more soap.
Yeah, serious soap off the track at Mercedes and McLaren, both making massive changes in their technical departments after an awful start to the season.
Two races, heads are rolling.
James Key shit-canned at McLaren. He was, I think, like, what, the chief technical director or something?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a big willy in that technical department. And Mercedes had just an awful wind tunnel debacle where somehow the components that they were testing in the wind tunnel
weren't measured right.
Yeah, they weren't like measured right and to the true spec of the components that would be going on the car. So they wasted all this wind tunnel time and money on components that weren't even legal or weren't the right dimensions for what would go on the car. So Toto had to go in there with his machete and just axe a bunch of those people who botched that.
You mean his stiffened up rye bread, or what is it? Pumpernickel.
Yeah, the pumpernickel.
Pumpernickel.
He loves the pumpernickel.
Just hitting people with loaves of pumpernickel.
He just toasts the hell out of it and then throws it like a throwing star and cut everyone out in the wind tunnel.
I'm surprised that they let this get out to the media. Or is this just a blame thrower type situation?
Yeah, I think it's a combination.
They have to deflect.
To make the drivers feel like you're committed and pushing forward, you start saying, hey guys, we're shit canning all these people.
Because if I'm an F1 team, I don't let that hit the media. I give them a different byline. I say, hey, yeah, you know, the parts we designed just ended up not working out. There was no correlation from wind tunnel to track. I don't let them know we mismeasured.
It's like when NASA...
But that begs the question, why would they... They're trying to shame the guys they're firing.
Right. It's such a bad look. It was like when NASA...
It's a very bad look.
...forgot to convert from metric to standard and like crashed one of the rovers or some lunar lander into the you know surface of the moon or whatever other planet it was. It's just embarrassing.
The lunar lander.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff. Yeah, I think a lot of it, I don't envision Hamilton going to any other team. I don't think the ones that he would want to go to that are competitive, I don't think either want him or have the space for him. And Toto, I think this is part of Toto's thing is not even thinly veiled. He's just out there constantly saying how he wants Hamilton back, or he thinks things are going well to get Hamilton to continue with Mercedes. So a lot of what he does right now, I feel, is a push to retain Hamilton's services into the future and try and get him that record-breaking 8th world title.
I would agree. I think, I think for Hamilton, it's 8th title or bust, meaning retirement.
Who is Hamilton's new trainer? He's just,
I don't know if he's
going solo on it. I saw him running on the beach somewhere on Instagram the other day. So
he's his own trainer now.
Yeah, he's reaching inward. By the way, I know we were talking about Tsunoda looking like he was beefed up and the fitness was on another level. I forgot that, what's his name? Michael Italiano is his trainer now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Danny Rick's trainer of Drive to Survive fame is now over there pumping up Muscle Boy Yuki.
We follow him on Instagram too.
Yeah.
We follow all the trainers on the gram.
Yeah, we follow all the trainers, whether hired or fired.
Even after Angela got fired by Lewis, we still follow her.
Yeah. Well, follow us now, Ryan. Let's head over to the hashtag AustGP. Albert Park, good to be back.
Yep. New DRS zone, 4.
Yeah, that's crazy. Four DRS zones.
Man, just when you thought there might be a track that could slow the Red Bull boys down, they go to one that is adding
jack up a fourth DRS zone.
Fourth DRS zone. Even if Checo and Max have a terrible start here, they're going to be able to game on Sunday with those DRS zones.
That's the other thing, that these DRS zones have kind of altered the history books with regard to guys winning from further back in the order, you know?
Yeah.
Because the DRS zones allow them to just plow through the field when they're behind guys in the midfield and slower cars.
Yeah.
Unlike the past.
You still need a special track, though. Like, Max couldn't even do it in Saudi, and that should have been a track where it would have been relatively easy.
Yeah. He just didn't bargain for Checo to put on a show.
Right. By the way, the deepest that anyone's ever won at this track was P11. Which is pretty good.
Wait and see, yeah.
P11's pretty deep.
That'll be exciting. Anytime a guy can win from outside the top 10, it's definitely exciting to watch.
Outside the top, the front three rows is big time for me.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of these tracks, the winner tends to come from the front row. So
first two rows, yeah.
Yeah. So, Ragai, weather. Are we going to get some rain, some sprinkles for any of the sessions?
Friday could be wet for at least one of the practice sessions. So you might see the guys lose their ability to get tire data in either FP1 or FP2.
Yeah, the rain is also helpful, even if it's not during a session, because it greens up the track and leads to more inaccurate data from test sessions or, you know, ramping up of a track during a qualifying session. So right. It definitely makes it more exciting.
Yeah, we will see. I mean, it's going to be much cooler here than the first two races, right? We were in Bahrain. We were in Saudi. Those places are very hot.
Yes.
Now we're going to find out who can turn the tires on when they are very cold. And that might change some things for people.
Yeah, now that we have that C0 compound.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see which ones are rolled out there for the race this weekend in Albert Park. Let's look back, Ryan, the past winners of the Australian Grand Prix, hashtag AustGP, of current people on the grid. Hamilton has won twice. Alonso won all the way back in 2006. Valtteri Bottas won in 2019. Then we didn't race there for a couple of years. And Charles Leclerc won last season in Australia. There's another notable name missing from here. Who's that, Ragai? Not having won here yet.
Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
And Daniel Ricciardo. And yeah. Oscar Piastri.
Well, that's the thing, right?
The Aussies can't win here.
No Australian has ever won the hashtag AustGP.
But it's interesting. I mean, it's understandable that Max hasn't won here because he only had 1 year to do it with a competitive car, which was last year, but he DNF'd.
Yeah, they didn't have this race in 2020 or 21.
Right.
And those years before that was the Mercedes domination, and the Red Bull would win an odd race with Verstappen.
I know Max's dominance is so front of mind for everyone because he's been so dominant over the last two seasons, but he really hasn't had a... I mean, he had a car failure last year, so that was his only shot so far to win this race. We'll see if he can do it this weekend, but I don't know.
He's definitely got a shot this weekend, right, with the Red Bull pace early this
generally
season.
Doesn't go that well, though, in Australia, if you look at his entire career.
Yeah. So, more numerology, Ryan. Alonso got his 100th podium in Saudi Arabia. He got it, then he lost it, then he was given it back.
Yep.
And we were taught, the numerology, this is Red Bull's 350th Grand Prix
as a team
in Formula One. And to put in context, Fernando Alonso is racing his 361st Formula One Grand Prix. So he has 11 Grand Prix edge on Red Bull as a team.
I love it. That one-man band is older than Red Bull.
Yeah. But I was trying to segue in also to mention that with all that podium back and forth with Alonso and George Russell, that Alonso was up there for the ceremony, got the trophy. Then the trophy was given to George Russell.
Yeah, for a moment.
Yeah.
Mercedes had a podium.
We were talking about wondering, is it some representative that is forced to go grab the trophy from one driver, run it to the other driver, and then run it back? George Russell still has the trophy because he was posting on social media of him like in the hotel laying on the couch with the trophy like, hey, Alonso, where should I send this thing to?
Make him come and get it.
Yeah.
I'm not bringing it to you. You come and get it.
Pride from his cold, dead hands.
Oh, yeah.
So you mentioned four DRS zones. I'm intrigued to see if they can start, now that they have more data, every race they get more data on the speeds of these cars, especially the front runners, that will they shorten those DRS zones to make it what we're looking for, where the guys can carry the speed, but they have to make the move under braking or in the corner, not just breeze past, slot in front, and cruise off into the distance. You know, those passes aren't exciting.
They're not. They're so routine.
And it's, you know, guys will be more prone to making mistakes if they're forced to do it under braking, carrying extra speed. Then you get lockups. You get more pit stops if they fuck up tires. You get potential contact, you know.
Right.
We want to see them making moves into and through the corners, not just on the straights.
Yeah, you want to be designing these DRS zones so that it makes these guys enter the corner side by side.
Yeah. So an Aussie may have never won the Australian Grand Prix, but Valtteri Bottas, Ryan, he's chirping like crazy. Hashtag fun Valtteri is still ripping and roaring. He considers the Australian Grand Prix almost a home race, he said.
Do the Aussies accept him? We have a few Aussie listeners. Do you guys accept him as a secondary Australian citizen?
Yeah, he definitely plays it up with the helmet. He's got another specialty helmet for this race.
He's saying that because his girlfriend's Australian and
he loves Australia.
He spent the whole offseason drinking beer in Australia. That's why he thinks he's an Australian.
And I think he was
by that
doing
metric,
some...
I'm Australian.
Right. You were there for your honeymoon. So
I honeymooned there. I'm an Australian. I drank beer there too, Valtteri.
You consider this almost a home race.
This is my home race.
It's your home race. So if Bottas is considered an honorary Aussie, then he's the only Aussie to ever win this Grand Prix when he did in 2019.
It's true. It's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some interesting winners here, right? Hamilton has a fascinating record here because he's had pole position here 8 times. He has 2 wins.
Yeah.
This has never been a Sunday track for him.
Yeah, and with the number or the names of the guys who've won in the past on this grid and the limited number of them, the guys who were really good here, Vettel, Schumacher, obviously Schumacher, just like Hamilton, was good everywhere. But it's pretty crazy that Hamilton has 2 wins from 8 poles here. Alonso only 1 win, Bottas 1 win, Leclerc 1 win, Verstappen no wins. So I think that bodes well for potentially a new race winner and a fresher podium this race weekend.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see.
Hopefully the honorary Aussie, Valtteri Bottas, can get on the podium.
Hi, I'm Valtteri Bottas.
That would be wild.
Yeah. His helmet is pretty interesting, Raga. It's designed by an Aboriginal artist.
I love
it. It's very busy, very cool design. So hopefully we can get some other specialty helmets for this Grand Prix, especially with Oscar Piastri making his Aussie debut.
Yep.
And we'll have to dive into those whenever we get enough cool helmets to break down a helmet on helmet segment here. So some guys who haven't raced here before, right? Logan Sargeant, Nick DeVries. Interesting with how much Nick DeVries has run in all kinds of different series that he never raced there, I guess because of during COVID time, maybe would have been his main shot, right?
Yeah, I guess F2 never came. I don't know if F2 comes to Australia.
Yeah,
that would have been
not,
his window.
Because it's such a far
Formula E doesn't race on this
race.
Track, so.
Right. But yeah, Logan Sargeant, Nick DeVries will have to learn Albert Park quickly. I'm sure they've been hitting the sim.
You know what that means? Just another weekend where my boy Yuki is going to spank Nick DeVries again.
Yeah, that's not even a bold prediction anymore to say that Yuki is going to wax
Yuki
DeVries.
Has made quick Nick DeVries his bitch all year so far. I love it.
Do you think potentially, I know we're looking way forward in this season, but we've talked about how earlier days when we would watch Formula One, it would happen fairly often where at the end of seasons, if rookies weren't doing well, they would end up just getting bounced and they'd bring someone else in for the final races just to give them a look before signing someone. I feel like we might see that at the end of this year. If DeVries keeps stinking it up, unless he got a multi-year deal because everyone was so hot for him
they're not
after
gonna,
he scored points.
You think they're going to cut him?
I'm just looking way down the line. If he can't even
he hasn't been that bad.
Sniff
the team's
Yuki's
not competitive.
Jock. Yeah.
Team's not competitive.
Yeah.
So
just wondering if we're going to see that throwback to having fresh guys for the doing a trial by fire in the final races of the season.
Yeah. What if that points finish that Nick had in the Williams was it Monza last year?
Yeah.
What if that was just a flash in the pan? Like he never scores points again.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah.
Everyone was so hyped. They wanted Latifi out of the seat that instant. Remember? Everyone was like, get Latifi out of there. Get Nick in the car.
Yeah, I mean, he and Piastri have a lot of pressure on their shoulders.
Yeah.
Piastri especially. And at this race. That's why it always feels like any Australian drivers on the grid, there's so much pressure heaped on them for this Australian Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Remember, Danny Ricciardo would always press too hard and tended to perform poorly here, if he could even finish the race.
Yeah,
it's amazing that Mark Webber, Aussie grit, and was never able to win this race.
Even in those sick Red Bulls back in the day that were winning races left and right.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see if Piastri can handle the pressure he's under in general to perform, let alone in front of his home crowd here.
Yeah.
It'll be intriguing to see, Ryan. Do you want to get into some bold predictions here? See if we maybe want to be as bold to predict a fresh look on the podium or
results? Let's do it. I'll go first. These are very bold.
Love
it. So my first boldie. Ferrari to outscore Aston Martin this weekend.
Yeah, that's bold.
That's bold as fuck.
I was super bold with Ferrari last year, and it egg on my face.
Yeah.
Or last weekend, yeah.
You're spamming the sting button on me here.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't time it for you.
Hit me again. Nico Hülkenberg to get his first point of the season this weekend.
I like that.
That's also bold. Both Mercedes to finish outside of the top five on Sunday.
Okay. So we have Ferrari way up the order, outscoring Aston Martin. Mercedes in the bottom half of the point scoring positions at best in your bold predictions.
Yes.
And the Hulk to finally do something on Sunday. He's often been great on Saturday in Formula One.
Yeah, I'm anticipating Mercedes to have issues with tires this weekend, getting them fired up in these colder temps.
Yeah, they struggle with a lot of things there. Here are my bold predictions. Oscar Piastri, DNF. The pressure is too much. He will not finish this Grand Prix.
So you're sticking with the tradition.
I am. Keeping with tradition here. I didn't even realize your Hülkenberg to score points prediction because I went even bolder. Haas, double point scoring weekend. Both drivers in the points for the Haas.
That is bold.
Yeah.
The point I was trying to make is that Magnussen does have a point so far this season, but Nico does not.
Yeah. I think both of them in the top 10. I like going bold on Haas in Australia.
Doesn't Haas always have these incredibly bad weekends in Australia? Like remember the one race where both cars didn't have the tire seated?
Because it used to be the opening race of the season, and Haas would always have disastrous
pit
stops. They
would always puke on themselves.
Yeah. I think it was multiple years in Australia to start the season where they had tires rolling off the cars after they pulled out of the pits.
They had a DNF both cars one year because they didn't put the tires on all the way.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
Yeah. So we're bold and bullish on Haas this weekend.
That was
Australia.
That was the race when you got the infamous Gunther Steiner quote to say, we look like a bunch of fucking wankers.
Yeah. Gunther never happy. By the way, Gunther, going back to Button and Raikkonen in the NASCAR race, Gunther was also a guest. I think it was on Fox or something. Mm. He was in the booth commentating for, I think, huge chunk of the race. So, of course, the bit was always, we had to coach him up or remind him he can't use that flowery language like he uses in Drive to Survive.
That's funny.
He was great. I mean, he's an entertaining cat. He is grabbing his DTS stardom with both hands and wringing the life out of it. He has a book out, Survive to Drive.
Go to the Haas website. Like, half of their merch this season is, like, Gunther Steiner slogan t-shirts.
Yeah. He is the celebrity of celebrities now, I guess. It's wild to see.
He is.
Yeah. Günther. So, Ryan, this is always a fun hashtag Formula Brunch. You have some more Vegemite left over that you're going to dip into?
For me, it's simple. Vegemite toast. Lock it up.
Yeah. And then we can do the ugly American bit where we drink Foster's Australian for beer, even though it's like St. Pauli Girl, where they don't drink it in that country.
Export only,
it's
baby.
It's a pure export. But we love our big oil drum
I'll probably
Foster's.
Do.
I like the green one more than the blue one.
I'll probably do either Vegemite toast or smashed avo.
Yeah.
Toast.
Smashed some avocado. Yeah. Get your avocado toast, your smashed avo toast.
They're going. Big on brekkie in Australia. They love their brekkie. How's your brekkie?
Yeah, brekkie is delish. Formula brekkie this weekend.
Formula brekkie.
Yeah, be sure to share your hashtag Formula Brunch.
It's a late one for the Americans this year. 1 a.m. if you're on the East Coast.
Yeah, that's it's a nice nightcap, getting your jammies and have your late night Formula Brunch and late night Foster's.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the move, Ryan, yeah, you just have the Foster's when you watch the race and then you wake up and do your brekkie, your hashtag Formula Brunch.
Yeah.
Also, make sure that you guys update your F1 fantasy lineups and join our league if you haven't already. Details on how to do that are on our social media, and keep an eye on our Instagram stories. We will be pinging you guys to help us set your fantasy lineup in our Purple Sector League.
Come on, Nico Hülkenberg, get that point.
Yeah, let's go Haas down in Australia.
Come on, Ferrari, take it to Aston Martin.
Thanks for joining Purple Sector for our Australian Grand Prix view. Enjoy the race. Enjoy your hashtag Formula Brunch and your Fosters. And see y'all on the track.
Purple Sector.
Oh, it's purple.
Purple.
Three Purple Sectors.
Three Purple Sectors.
Yeah, the car is terrible to drive. Very difficult.
I want to change things. I want to stop Mercedes dominating.
Honestly, what are we doing? Racing or pink block?
Okay, Lewis, close that gap as much as you can. It's hammer time.
It's not getting the blue flags.
How did you call that last lap incident?
Brainless.
Daniela, a hard-fought fourth place in the end for you.
Hard-fought? Not really. I thought that was boring.
So I think we can call Max Verstappen the baby-faced assassin.
I think we clench our butt cheeks and hope we stay there to the end, Martin.
I'm driving like a grandma.
What the f***?
Looks like my wife's driving that car.
Yeah, tell the safety car to slow down.
He's stroking that Ferrari.
I know I'm losing time to Vettel, but I really don't care.
They are racing.
So it's happy hour, basically.
People just simply don't have the balls to stick to what they say.
Mamma mia, what the hell is going on?
A firm boundary position, stay as they are. We'll talk about it after the race.
We are here to race and not to just hang out, so...